Welcome to the Cheyenne Vineyard Podcast, bringing you a message of hope for your everyday world. If you'd like to contact us at info@CheyenneVineyard.com. You can also find out more information about the Cheyenne Vineyard Church at CheyenneVineyard.com. Thank you and enjoy today's podcast.
The Lord spoke to me this week, and he said, the time of don't ask, don't tell in the church is over. And that's a weighty word as well. That is a call to community. It's a call to accountability among us in this body. That when the Lord shows us something for somebody else, because we know we all have blind spots, the time of brushing that aside is over. It's really time for all of us to have someone to hold us accountable before the Lord, to ask the difficult questions to us. The Lord gave me this short passage from Zephaniah, chapter 2. See, the Lord is doing a new thing right here among us. He's got us in a season of getting serious about Him and about where we're at with Him. And where He is in our lives. And this is a community thing that He's doing. This isn't an individual thing. But the beautiful thing is that He is doing it. When the Lord sovereignly wants to take us to a new place, He's capable of doing that. And yes, we will release the kids right now. I wanted to make sure they heard the first part of that. So sorry. You guys go have fun. he's capable of taking us to new places. He's putting a yes on our hearts, and that is the primary vehicle of getting there. It's not about us doing more for Him in this season. It's about being rather than doing. And I shared with you a couple weeks ago that this isn't a real comfortable time for me as a leader, not knowing exactly where we're going and certainly not knowing how to get there. Because we're going to a new place, and a place that we haven't been, because there's a necessity of us getting there in order to receive the authority that the Lord wants to give so that we can accomplish our purposes that we're called to in this city and in this nation. So I would be very much without peace if I thought that this depended on me somehow. But it was amazing how much peace I had this morning coming and just wanting to see what God would do. Because he has given us the word that don't worry about what to do next. I'm doing this. And I trust that he is doing this because I'm seeing him do a new thing. And that's rather exciting. There's good precedent in the Bible for leaders going somewhere where they didn't know they were going or how they were going to get there. So I've taken some comfort in that. that this isn't something out of the ordinary that God is doing. But this is a time to be serious with the Lord. And I spoke about being overcomers last week, and not all believers in Jesus are overcomers. Not all believers in Jesus are going to be overcomers. But he desires that we all be overcomers, that we overcome ourselves, that we overcome living for ourselves, so that we actually get to the place where we are doing things that we in and of ourselves do not want to do. And we are not doing some things that in and of ourselves we would like to do. That's the first step in overcoming. So that's part of what God's doing. But this thing about don't ask, don't tell, you understand where that terminology came from. It came from the military, and that's how they used to deal with homosexuals in the military. Well, you can stay in if nobody asks and you don't tell anybody, and you just keep it under the surface, hidden. And I'm not just talking about sexual sin in the body of Christ when I talk about don't ask, don't tell. I'm talking about anything that's hidden under the surface that we've not allowed the light of God into to bring out so that he can cleanse and bring healing and bring us into newness of life in those areas. And it's like I was saying, sometimes those areas are even hidden from us. They've been part of us so long we don't even realize that they're there. And that's why there's an absolute need for community and accountability to get beyond don't ask, don't tell. If somebody is going to ask you the question, don't ask, don't tell doesn't work anymore because somebody asked. And you either got to tell the truth or a lie. And if we're going to have true community, we've got to learn to tell the truth, whatever it is. Because we know that God's not surprised by anything that we say. And he's not rejected us because of anything that has been or is or will be in our life. He just is not that way. And we will not reject one another. Sometimes people choose to go another way, and that's part of free will that God gave us. But together, we've got to learn to love and accept each other where we're at and help each other. There was a wise man who spoke into my life years ago, and he told me I needed a Paul in my life, somebody who could lift me higher, and I needed a Timothy, somebody I could be lifting higher. And we all need that. And if you don't have it, ask the Lord. And then receive what the people that he gives you. Because God's got us in a time of preparation. We're not exactly sure for what, but it is a time of preparation. And we've talked about preparing in the natural for out of wisdom and asking the Lord what to do. But now he's got us in the most critical piece of being prepared, and that is our spiritual preparation. Because there's difficulty ahead that if the enemy still has too much ground in our lives, it's going to be difficult for us to stand. And so we got to deal with that stuff. And, true repentance releases us into our destiny. Because it takes us off a wrong road that we're on, and it places us on the right path. And there's too little true repentance going on in the church. We've made it too easy for people to come to the Lord. You just pray this little prayer and you're good to go. And there's a sense of truth in that. But we still need to deal with stuff in a real way in repentance. And that is one of the great values for our body in what we call encounter weekends. When we go through the encounter weekends, each person is given an opportunity to truly repent of specific issues, specific things in their lives, and have the Lord deal with that and heal it right then and there, and then go on. And that's part of what I'm talking about. But I want to get back to Zephaniah 2. If you want to, later in the week, you can read the second half of chapter 1, but I'm just going to focus on the first, I think, three verses of chapter 2. And if this wasn't written to our nation at this time, and it wasn't when it was written, but it certainly applies to our nation right now. Gather together. Yes, gather, O shameless nation. Before the decree takes effect, before the day passes away like chaff, before there comes upon you the burning anger of the Lord, before there comes upon you the day of the anger of the Lord. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, who do his just commands. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. And perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord. I really couldn't put better what I feel like the Lord is saying to our nation right now than this. This is it. The rest of the world is, and Christians I'm talking about, they are looking at America and they're saying, what has happened? You who were the purveyors of truth, you who were the ones telling the rest of the world how to live right, how to be right before God, and now what's happened? You're the biggest spreader of ungodliness on the planet. And that is the reality. And I hear this from Christians in other countries saying this. And they're saying, what's happened to America? And this is the word for us for right now. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. And perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the Lord's anger. So we don't know the difficulties that may come. And I shared a quote, I can't this morning remember who it was from. I believe it was a Christian leader from China who said, without persecution, there's no revival. And that if that's true and we're praying for revival, what are we really asking for? And if that is indeed true, and historically, I think it's proven to be mostly true. And our desperate need in this country is for spiritual awakening to come on a huge scale. Then we need to be ready for persecution that may come. Jesus warned us. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. But you've got to be strong enough to stand when it comes. And that's what the Lord is saying. So, there's this other verse, because I don't want this to sound like I think you're all in sin and we need to repent. This is an invitation from the Lord to go deeper. It's like I said in the very beginning, when Holly shared that word, I just about fell to my knees because my legs almost fell out from under me. And it's not because I'm in some sin that I desperately need to repent of. The Lord's calling us deeper. And it's an invitation when he calls us deeper. Because he wants to give us something. And yes, it's like Joy said in her prayer, when the Lord wants to give us something, he's usually got to take something to make room for what he wants to give us. And so he's asking us to live like this and not like this. Because if somebody tries to give you something and your hands are like this, it just falls to the ground. So we gotta learn to live like this. Second Corinthians 3:18 calls us to something higher, and it's the natural progression of the Christian life. We who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. And other translations say we're being transformed from glory to glory, which speaks of the Lord taking us from one level in him to another level, and another level, and another level. And there's always going to be another level on this earth. And I think part of what the Lord is saying to us is he's inviting us to greater glory, to greater authority, to greater anointing, to greater times in his presence. But that comes at some kind of cost. And it's like us growing up from children to adulthood. If there's someone at college and they bring their Barbie dolls, there's a problem, right? That should have been put away some time ago. I'm sorry if any of you did that. But what the Lord is saying, and I hope he's speaking to your hearts as we're in this fast together, that there are times and seasons where certain things are just fine. It's just great for a 7-year-old to be playing with their Barbies, with their friends. But if they're still doing it when they're 27, there's a problem. And for us in our lives, there are times and seasons when certain things, certain uses of our time that are not inherently sinful are okay. But then we move into another season, and those things have to be left behind because there's something better, there's something greater, there's something of more value that the Lord wants to impart to us. And I don't remember being in a season like this corporately where the Lord is just literally calling us all higher. And I remember a word from the Lord that a lady gave me in the coffee shop This was right after we opened, and she was so overcome she could just barely get it out. And she said, now I hope I can get it out. She said, it's no accident that the coffee shop is called Higher Grounds, because the Lord is wanting to take you, and she was speaking to me, to higher ground than you've ever been on. And this is a corporate word. It wasn't just for me. It's for all of us. And I don't think it's even just for us. This is a word for the church in America. That the Lord is wanting to take us higher, to a higher place, to higher ground than what we've known. And the way that we do that is we say yes. And we keep following him. And then when he says, hey, let's not turn on the TV tonight, let's pull out the word, then we do it. And as he leads us to different simple actions like that, and we continue to say yes, over a period of time, we're there. And we don't even realize how we got there. But he's done something. Because our little steps of obedience, coupled with his grace that empowers and does more than we could do, takes us there. And this is going from glory to glory. And this is what the Lord wants to do. And it's his work, because in these jars of clay we hold his glory. In these fragile vessels that we live in, we hold his very presence and his very nature. And yeah, so we can't go everywhere we used to go. We can't do everything that we used to do. But we can go places we never thought we'd go. And we can do things we never thought we would do. Because we're exiting a kingdom that is perishing, and we're entering a kingdom that will never pass away, step by step. And that is going from glory to glory. And that is taking us to a place where we will be hidden in the day of the Lord's judgment. Because like I was saying a couple weeks ago, if the Lord's really getting us to a place where we are just his, and what is the Lord's, the Lord takes care of. What is not the Lord's is at risk. In fact, it's more than at risk. It's in danger. So this I think is what the Lord is saying. And for the leaders of this body, he's calling us to more. And he's calling us to more community within this body. So that we can support each other in what the Lord is doing. And life groups are a great place where some of this can happen, but it doesn't necessarily automatically happen in a life group. It happens in relationships, one-to-one, 10-to-1, where there's real transparency, and where there's true seeking of the Lord together. So life groups can be a vehicle, but they're not the only vehicle. It happens one-on-one and 2-to-1, and just when we're real together. So the Lord is he's teaching me a new way to teach. And I'm not entirely comfortable with it yet, but I'm getting there. Kaylee prayed over me a few weeks ago and had a word for me that sort of put language to what I felt like the Lord was telling me, but it didn't really make a lot of sense. That he really didn't want me to prepare messages anymore. And that's kind of a scary thing when you got to stand up here and do something. But I have some grid for that, and it's certainly not the, I mean, it actually calls me deeper into relationship and deeper into seeking of the Lord throughout the week, so that there's some well from which to draw that's not here. But the Lord's given us a kind of a grid for that, and I think you probably agree the best messages that I've ever delivered were when I just did that. And the Lord had a better plan. So bear with me in this season. You know, probably the guy that I've heard who is maybe the very best at that kind of teaching is Bill Johnson. I've sat under him a number of times, and the first couple times I tried to take notes, and I would just end up 10 minutes from where he was in my notes, still trying to write down what he was saying. But what would happen as he would teach spontaneously like that is there would be pieces of truth for every specific person in that group, and everyone ended up getting what they needed. And that really is the word that Kaylee had for me, that there was like a rainbow coming out of my mouth, and every person was being encouraged and strengthened with just exactly what they needed. So that has really become my overriding prayer throughout the week, that God would do this. And like I said, it's somewhat uncomfortable for me still. But I have always tried to only deliver what I felt like the Lord was saying to us. And this just takes me a little deeper into commitment to do that. So that is my commitment to all of you, is to do that, to get there, to know the heart of the Lord for the day, for the week that we're in. But this really is just the call that he's giving to all of us. Because he wants all of you to do the same thing. When you're at the grocery store, when you're on the job, when you're wherever, to be ready to speak what the Lord is saying to the person that he puts in front of you. And that is the kingdom coming. That's heaven touching earth through you. And that's what we need. That's what this city needs. So this week is the culmination of 8 months of preparation for this Convoy of Hope outreach that we're doing. And I know hopefully most of you saw the article in the newspaper, because it was great. That was the Lord. An article like that with no mistakes and saying exactly what should be said about anything is miraculous. Because when I lived in government and had to do interviews and then read what was printed about what I said, that just doesn't happen. So it was great. But I really, as we fast for this next week and we end our fast next Sunday, will be the last day, which is the day after the outreach, I want you to pray that the kingdom would come next Saturday. That the Spirit of God in Lions Park would be twice what we experience here on Sunday. And that there would be a harvest of souls that get connected to God and come into his kingdom on that day. And that people would be physically healed just walking through the park. That they would be delivered from demonic oppression just because they came to the event, and the demons just couldn't handle it. They just had to go. And want you to pray blessing on the 20 or so churches that have come together to bless the city. In January, before we even knew that we were going to do this thing, the Lord gave us this word to pray for the city for this year. Jeremiah 29:7. But seek the blessing, welfare, and prosperity of the city where I have sent you, and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its blessing, prosperity, and welfare. For you will, in it, you will find your blessing, prosperity, and welfare. And this is what we've been praying for our city. I want you to pray that the Lord would bring 5,000 people as guests to this event. And yeah, Fort Collins only had 3,500, but God can bring 5,000. And they're going to be so blessed at this thing that the hopeless are going to have hope. They're going to say, if the church can do this, man, anything can happen. They're going to say that. That's going to be dropped in their spirit. And they're going to know that there is a real church in this city. So come Friday night and volunteer on Saturday. I'd love to see 90% of Cheyenne Vineyard there. Because I'm telling you, you won't be the same if you go. When I went to that thing last year in Fort Collins, I was there with a friend of mine who works for Convoy of Hope, who used to be a Vineyard pastor. And he introduced me to all the Convoy guys, and we just walked around and bawled together at what God was doing. We couldn't talk. We were boo, boo, boo. So you don't want to miss it. You really don't. John? Mm-hmm.
If you'll bear with me for just a couple of minutes, I want to share something that, a lot like Holly, was something that happened to me, an experience that I had, but the Lord brought it full circle, and for the first time I understand it today. And I think it definitely is a word of encouragement for us as a body. In 1991, I think it was October, but it might have been, it was within a couple of years of that, I was in the law enforcement profession, and I was a police chief, and I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico for the national conference, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, okay? So I was at this big conference, you know, big, a lot of stuff going on, all that, very secular, not very spiritual, and there was a breakout time where this place that was probably the size of a high school gym was reserved for food court and, a place for people to get a drink and sit down and talk with one another, and I was sitting at a table, and these two men came up and asked if they could sit at the table with me, and they were African, and so we began to chat and compare notes on what we did for a living, and it started with that, but it ended maybe 45 minutes later, after a precious time of talking about the Lord and His work in our lives. This man was the commissioner of police in Swaziland, Africa. And small nation, if I recall right, it's central to the continent somewhere. And so it was he and his assistant. He had grown up partially, he had grown up in Swaziland, but he was educated in America. He worked at the American Embassy for Swaziland in D.C., had gone back, and eventually had been appointed to this position. So he answered to the king. It's a monarchy. And he answered to the king on behalf of the national police. And this man who was with him was his assistant. And we started talking, and he kind of broached the subject, but he started talking about what's happening in America. This was during the spiritual conversation, not the policing one. Began talking about not so much under the heading of the sins of the nation, but what had happened in America. Same thing that you were referring to just a little while ago. And when we began talking about the abortion industry in the United States of America, now remember, this is back in the mid-early 90s, his assistant just groaned audibly. And part of the thing was kind of funny for me. I had a hard time keeping a straight face watching his assistant, because the man was a former tribesman of some kind in Swaziland. He had gotten educated. He now was second in command. Okay, can you guys hear me okay? Okay. And his assistant was a former tribesman, now educated, now second in command of this national policing organization, whatever that was. And when the topic of the abortion industry in America came up, his assistant just went, oh. And he had been sitting there eating a turkey leg. You know, you can buy those sometimes. And it was about this long. And I had to steer clear of the dude because the meat was flying. I mean, this guy knew how to eat this with his hands. And so here he is in a suit, a black suit and a tie and a white shirt, looking very formal and eating this turkey leg. So that on the one hand. But then when we got on this very serious topic, this man just groaned. And it was a groan from the heart, you could tell. And so his boss told me this. He said, you know, in America, you guys try to solve these things with politics. And he says, it will not work. You cannot solve spiritual things with politics. And he told me, he said, we owe America so much. In many ways, you are the ones who sent the missionaries that introduced us to Jesus Christ. And he said, he asked me the same question. What has happened here? And of course, I couldn't answer it. And, but he said that, the reality is now we are sending missionaries to your country. And I was back in the mid-90s. I've never met one of them, but I believe it's true. And he told me one thing that has stuck with me for years, and I haven't thought about this for quite some time. The Lord brought to mind just a few minutes ago as Jay was teaching. He said that our king has called us to godliness. He's a Christian man. And he said in Swaziland, if we try to solve something through the political thing, that doesn't work there under a king. He said, but our king has called us to godliness. You know, as Jay talks about God doing something, taking us to a higher level, and doing it through this time of what I'd like to call calling us into the classroom, and he's teaching us things that we maybe don't want to learn. He's pulling things away from us that we don't want to let go of. He's asking us to let go of things that we've clung to. And I will tell you that from the standpoint of the leadership of this church, I can speak personally as one of the elders. I can speak, I think, very confidently for for Art, the other elder. God is taking us through a humbling time. And he is taking us through times, he's allowing us to go through times that we cannot control, so that we, or the upshot of it at any rate, the outcome of it, using it for good. It may be meant for harm by the enemy in some respects, But the upshot of it is that we are growing closer to the Lord. And so, to the extent that Jay is talking about this refining process that is going on in the church, the life-giving church, it is happening in this body, it's happening in others, and it's happening by appealing away as he readies us for whatever does lie ahead. So a month ago I might not have been willing to say this, but the refining process is underway, and I can look across this group even just here today, and I can name the names of people that are going through that I know of, and I don't know of all of them. I know he's about the process. The refining is going on. Let it happen. God bless you.
Thanks, John. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your kindness, your gentleness, for your wisdom, for your leadership. I pray, Father, that you would continue to put that yes on our hearts, that you'd remove the no from us. And Lord, that you would take us higher. Speak with clarity to us. Lord, I bind our feet to your path. And I ask that you'd give us deeper revelation. That you would fulfill in each of us our destiny in your kingdom. And for this body. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that we are yours. And show us more what that means. And Lord, bless each volunteer on Saturday. Bless each guest, each honored guest who comes. May they experience your presence like they never have. For the glory of your Son.